Good morning, lovely people. Well, we've had a bit of drama here this morning. Just 2 seconds ago, we had no picture. So if you can see me, let's raise a hallelujah. I hope you're doing so well, going through your days with Jesus. It is, in fact, the only way to do well. I'm going to speak this morning on the importance of discipline and self-control. And before you switch off or kind of groan inwardly, you need to know discipline is your friend. Discipline is my friend. It's not our enemy, it's our friend. Discipline actually enables us to do what we want to do and get to where we want to be. If you're born again, the Lord has done a wonderful job of cleaning you up on the inside and putting his spirit in you. It's an amazing miracle, new birth, born again to serve God. And if you are born again, I know the majority of people watching will be. God has put a desire in you to please him and, praise God, the ability to please him as well. You know, on the inside, actually, we really want to please him. When you do things that you know please God, you get a burst of joy. There's a real kind of, come on, yes. There's a joy of pleasing God that nothing in this world can match. It's a holy joy, and it's in your emotions. You feel it. You experience it. So he's given us the desire to please him and the ability to do it. And actually, our goal as his children is to live to please him. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 says, we make it our aim to be well-pleasing to him. You may have so many things to do in your day. You know, you may have a to-do list of 50 things, but top of that list should be living to please him. Putting a smile on his face, you know, making him proud in a right sense. You know, that's my boy, that's my girl, that's how I'd have done it, that's how I'd have said it. That's how I'd have handled that tricky situation, living to please him in the world, but not of the world, of a different spirit, a different standard, because the law of God is in our hearts and the Holy Spirit enables us or empowers us to live it out. But, and this is a big but, there's another law pulling on us that opposes God and doesn't want to submit to God. And scripture calls it flesh, or the lower nature. And our flesh, our lower nature, has sinful desires that wants to rebel, kind of buck authority, rebel against God and lead your life. Flesh always thinks it knows best. It will tell you that self-governed is freedom, whereas the reality is it's bondage. You know, it's kind of confusion and bondage. We get trapped in all sorts of things, fueled by wrong thinking and wrong attitudes. The only one fit to rule our lives is Jesus. And when his truth is ruling, we are truly liberated. We get to live our best days, our best life yet through Jesus. But there are two pulls on us, flesh and spirit. The pull of the lower nature and the pull of the Holy Spirit towards God. Now we're going to go through some meaty scriptures. It's kind of a meaty message this morning, but that's okay. It's good for us. We need the meat to get strong. And I want you just to lean in to this. Lean into these scriptures. Because actually, if you grasp these scriptures, you will understand yourself and it will enable you to win your struggles, you know, your battles. So turn with me if you've got your Bible handy, which I really hope you have, because it's good to see the word as well as hear it. Romans 7, and we're going to go from verse 22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Who will deliver me from this tug of war, this flesh-spirit pull, opposition. Praise God, verse 25, Jesus, our strong deliverer, the one who is mighty to save, he is able by his spirit in us. Go on to chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. Every day is a walk. Pastor Judith said it last weekend in her message. The Christian life is a walk. Now, we have free will. We can walk towards God or we can walk away from God. We can be led by the flesh or led by the spirit. Before you were born again, you had no power over your flesh. I had no power over my flesh. We were compelled to sin. We couldn't help it, couldn't resist it, lived under the law of sin and death, that horrible, vicious cycle. But read verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from that law of sin and death. Once we're born again, the Holy Spirit has been put on the inside. The Spirit of life sets us free from the law of sin and death. We can still sin, but we don't have to. We're not under that law anymore. We have his power to live different, to live holy, to live right, to live to please God. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control, the ability to control yourself. You have the ability to control your mind. A thought might pop in, but you have control not to continue thinking that thought and turf it out. Okay, control over your mouth, control over your decisions. Don't say you have no self-control because you've got the Holy Spirit in you. You know, so many times people say, well, you know, I just couldn't resist that. The big things, the small things. I lost my temper. I just couldn't help it. I opened the packet. I ate the whole thing. I just couldn't help it. I just can't resist it. We can resist anything we want to resist. You can resist anything you want to resist because you have the Holy Spirit in you. And you know, the more we confess what God says we have, the more it renews our mind. And the more we start to believe it. And before long, we start demonstrating it. So the more you say, I've got self-control. I don't have to do that. I can resist that. I've got power over that. I'm not letting that control me. The more you start to believe it and the more you start producing the fruit of self-control in your life. And let me tell you, self-control is a wonderful thing to have. It brings nothing but blessing into our lives. God's order, God's peace, and God's freedom. It might take a bit of time to get free in a certain area, but the more you exercise control, self-control, eventually it will bring you into God's freedom. Joy and peace. Joy and peace. And God wants us blessed. But he can't and won't bless sin. Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest. It's a law. It's a principle. A law that is in the earth. And it's a law that is kind of built into human beings. We reap what we sow. You're going to probably guess where I'm going now. Galatians 6, verses 7 to 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh, lower nature, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You are going to reap what you sow no matter what. It might take a bit of time to play out, but whatever you sow will come back and bless you or bite you, depending on how you sowed, whether you sowed to the flesh or whether you sowed to the spirit. There is no getting away with it. If you treat people badly, you're going to reap it. You're going to reap bad treatment back. If you watch a lot of worldly television programs or stuff online, let me tell you, you will reap a worldly mindset. And you tell yourself that stuff's okay, really. You kind of get dumbed down to it, to start to think that way. And actually, I believe one of the first things we reap when we sow to the flesh is deception. Thinking we're right when we're wrong. And that wrong way of thinking the way the world thinks. You know, Colossians 2 verse 8 speaks about it. Empty deceit. The world's philosophy, the basic principles of the world. When that's in our heads, we kind of can excuse all sorts of stuff and keep on going, telling ourselves, patting ourselves on the back, everything's all right. You know, comparing ourselves with other backslidden Christians or even non-believers, saying, well, I'm not as bad as them, excusing ourselves. So if you sow to the flesh, you're only going to reap negative results. You're only going to reap trouble in life. But if you sow, it's an intentional thing. So it has to be intentional. If you sow to the Spirit decisions that please God, you will reap life. Capital L-I-F-E. Life. The life of God. His blessing on your life. But at this point, I just want to issue a bit of a warning, and most of us are well aware of this. If you make the decision to live to please God, you will attract some attention, the kind of attention you don't want from the enemy. He is opposed to God. He's opposed to God's ways. The last thing he wants is God's will worked out in your life and for God to become visible and audible through your life. So he's against it. There's opposition. But praise God, the Lord delivers us from evil. He's a strong deliverer. He's mighty to save. Psalm 18, verse 50. Great deliverance he gives to his king, those who rule and reign in life through Jesus. Mercy he shows to his anointed. He delivers us. And do you know what? He brings us out on top. There might be opposition coming against, but by my God, I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. More than conquerors through him. And you know what? You come out more blessed. And you have the honor of living for him and the fruit of his kingdom in and through your life. It's worth it, let me tell you. Anyway, we need to listen to him. We need to let him lead. We know this. But back to discipline. One of the big helps in living for Jesus and living really to please him in our days is discipline. Boundaries set in place, preset decisions that determine what we will do and what we won't do. They're kind of safety nets, really, safety boundaries. The great thing about discipline is that decisions are made before the emotions kick in, before the kind of pressure and temptation really comes strong. They're set. I have a discipline of doing home gym or free gym. 3 times a week. I don't want to do it. I don't feel like doing it. I never feel like doing it. But I've set it into my week as a discipline, you know, to keep me fit. And whether I feel like it or not, it's what I do. It's a preset decision or discipline that keeps me doing what I actually really want to do. And disciplines keep us. They help us do what we want to do, get to where we want to be. So small decisions, repeated over time, make a big difference. You know this. You know this well, but I'm just going to talk about 3 kind of obvious ones, but just to kind of hopefully get the point home. Firstly, saving money. You know, you've got to sacrifice a bit for the long term. If you're able to save a bit of money each week or each month, move it to a place where you can't get at it, or it's more difficult to get at, take it out of your current account, put it into a savings account, over time it will multiply, so that in the end, when you really need it, it's there for you. Diet and exercise, I mean, I kind of covered it a bit, but if we eat well and do a bit of exercise each week, these good regular decisions over time will mean that we're kind of stronger and healthier. Relationships, they need a bit of investment, don't they? A bit of time, a bit of care, a bit of fun, you know? And these small, good investments, if we keep repeating them over time, will reap good relationships up ahead. But it's all investment. It's all a bit of sacrifice now for something better up ahead. disciplines help us. Years ago, I saw this girl. She spoke about her future self. She had what she called her treat cupboard. And in that cupboard, it was full of chocolate and biscuits and crisps. All the kind of quick fix, you know, things that we want to snack on. And she opened that cupboard door. And let me tell you, it was crammed full. There wasn't a square inch to kind of wedge another packet in. And she opened that door, grabbed a chocolate bar, and slammed it closed. The whole thing was kind of beginning to spill. She kind of slammed the door closed and said, "That's for future me to deal with." And I thought, poor you, right? It's no great dramas. It's not the end of the world, is it, to have a cupboard full of stuff that every time you open the door, it's going to spill out. But if you apply that attitude to the rest of life, which I suspect she did, her whole future is going to be a mess, a complicated mess. We need to be good to our future selves by being disciplined in the now. The world's way is have it now, pay later. You know, have the reward now, face the consequences later. And that's how lives really become a proper mess. People get into debt, people get into wrong relationships, they make wrong choices. And it's because they're emotional choices. Emotional choices so often, more often than not, get us into trouble, all kinds of trouble, and sometimes serious trouble. God wants to save us from that. And discipline, the discipline of doing what he says, saves us from trouble up ahead, the temptations of the enemy, the pull of the flesh, which, let's face it, can be very strong in the moment. But if you have a discipline in place, right, I am not going to complain. Okay, things are tough. Things are not how I would want it to be. I don't like it. And you can start, look, we can all start complaining a little bit. You can hear it in your tone more often than not. It's like, do you know what? I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to start to give thanks. Discipline of that. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. That's a great discipline to have. Keep God first. What a great discipline to have. You know, just that discipline alone helps you see the way forward sometimes. You know, when stuff's happening and you're not quite sure of the way forward, just to have that thought to yourself, okay, well, how can I get through this then and keep God first? And it will show you how to make, show you the way forward, navigate your way through. These disciplines get us out of trouble and they protect us in the present and the future. But discipline, as you well know, often cuts across what we feel like doing. Every day we have to say no to what we want to do and yes to what we don't want to do for the rest of our lives. That is as it is. But if you know that your disciplines are good and right, they're protecting you now and will protect you and provide for you up ahead, then quite frankly, exercise self-control and crack on, because we can. We're not weak. We're not powerless. We're not having the tail wagging the dog, the flesh wagging and dictating. We have a different spirit. And I want to read 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, but from the Amplified to you, because I like it. It says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control." Basically, the Holy Spirit is in us. We are well able to conquer our flesh and live to please God. No excuses. We don't actually have any excuses. We don't have to do everything we want to do. We don't have to say everything we want to say. We don't have to buy everything we want to buy. Now, just a bit of testimony, and it's not a positive one. Last month, I bought 3 things, and they were all bad choices. Just wrong, you know. They were expensive things, and if I'm honest, at the time, I kind of had a bit of a, should I, shouldn't I? I wasn't too sure, but I just thought, oh, it's not that much money. I'll give it a go. All 3 of them wrong. And I stood in my kitchen and I was a bit cheesed off of myself. I just said, "Lord, help me stop wasting money." I heard something back straight away. I wasn't even expecting a reply. And I just heard, "Listen to me then. Oh, is that right? Okay. Big things and small things, he wants to speak. We have his word and we have his spirit. We can hear his voice. If you're a child of God, you know, you need to think about the sheep and the shepherd. The sheep, Jesus said, know the shepherd's voice. We can hear his voice. But also, he directs us through promptings. Romans 7:6 says, I've been delivered from the law to serve in the newness of the Spirit by obedience to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, you will be well familiar with this, most of you. It's like a nudge on the inside, a kind of a nudge. It's the best way I can describe it. Scripture calls it an inner witness. But it's just that kind of little kind of jab in the ribs. You just kind of get a sense, I'm not sure about this. You know, and it can be for the positive or the negative. You kind of just know, though. You know. I often, and I've said this many, many times, the kind of inner witness, I always think of it really like a traffic light. Red, amber, green. Stop, wait, go. You know. The nudge of the Holy Spirit will communicate what he's wanting to say. You know, that nudge, you need to do that. And you need to do that now. Or you don't need to do that. You know, maybe you're going to commit to something. You get that nudge on the inside. Do not. Don't go there. Maybe somebody makes a bit of a sharp comment to you. And you open your mouth. You're about to kind of say something a bit pointed back. And you get that nudge on the inside. Don't do that. Don't say that. We are blessed if we follow the leading or the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The mind, Scripture says, the mind led by the Spirit is life and peace. Decisions led by the Spirit are life and peace. So we really need to listen to these promptings. But in the bigger decisions of life, we need the voice. We need to hear his voice. Pastor Judith last week was speaking about the difference between the Rhema word and the Logos word, the general, the Rhema being the general will of God or word of God, and the Logos, the specific. Holy Spirit lit up, verse jumps off the page, Holy Spirit given word. And we need that. You know, for big decisions in life, we need the Spirit given word. Proverbs 8, verse 2, I love this. It says, on the top of the heights, beside the way, where the paths meet, stands wisdom, skillful and godly. Now, wisdom's personified in that chapter, but I see it at every crossroads in life, every place of decision stands wisdom, the wisdom of God, skillful, godly. And he's wanting to speak to us, and he's wanting to direct us. So instead of reasoning everything through, ploughing on with our own good ideas, it's very wise to stop, look, listen. Do you remember some of you who are a bit older years ago, the Green Cross Code? Stop, look, listen. We need to stop. Stop what we're doing. Life can be so fast-paced for many of us. You're so busy and often you can feel pushed in a direction. We need to stop. Put the brakes on sometimes. Say, Lord, what are you saying? Is this my good idea or your good idea? Look to him. Listen to him. Listen for the voice. So the big life-changing decisions, we need to really listen and get godly counsel from godly people around us, godly friends and godly leaders. Ask them to pray. Ask them to pray for you and with you and speak into your life. And sometimes we really, really, really want to do something. And God, because he is good for our own sakes, will cut across our will. And let me tell you, it hurts. You know, when you really, when your flesh has got a strong pull, you really, really want to do something, you can have every scripture that you can find through your concordance to back it up and prove this is really God. But you know what? If it's not a spirit-given word, wait, stop, look, listen. And if the Lord does cut across you and it's painful, let me tell you, he's doing it for your own good. He sees ahead of time. Hebrews 12. Verse 7 speaks about discipline. Well-known verses. In the New King James, it calls it chastisement. But I'm just going to use the word discipline because I think it's more helpful for us to understand. If you endure discipline, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? But if you're without discipline, of which you've all become partakers, then you're illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us or disciplined us as seemed best to them. But he, our heavenly Father, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no discipline seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Ponder that thought a minute. I'm just going to have a quick drink. Amazing. Peaceable fruit of righteousness. Pain now, joy later. Sacrifice now, gain later. It's the opposite of the world's ways. The world wants reward now and I'll pay later. No thought really of tomorrow. No discipline, no self-control. But a disciplined life is a blessed life. It brings order. It brings good fruit. It's peacemaking. When you live in a disciplined life, you can lie down at night and sleep in peace. Knowing I've exercised self-control, I've done things God's way, I've, to the best of my knowledge and ability, I've lived to please him in that. I can lie down in peace and sleep. Righteousness and peace go together, let me tell you. Discipline yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness, verse 11 says. Wherever God's working, wherever God's involved, there's righteousness and peace. To go back to that Proverbs 8 chapter on wisdom, one of the verses says, I, wisdom, traverse the ways of righteousness. Wisdom travels on a righteous road, on a path of righteousness. And if you follow his wisdom, you will have peace. One of the signs, one of the merciful signs that we've come off the path of righteousness or the road of righteousness is we lose our peace. Thank God for that warning of the Holy Spirit. When you step off or step out of the will of God, you will lose your peace. Now, you can keep going. If you keep going long enough off that road, what happens is something that the Bible describes as a seared conscience, like a burn. You know, if you have a burn and it kind of heals over, but you're left with a scar. When you touch it, you can't actually feel. That's what happens to our conscience. When we keep ignoring the voice and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, you don't detect the voice or the promptings anymore. You're in a dangerous place, let me tell you. Protection's gone. You've come out of the umbrella of God's protection. You are fair game to the enemy. Let's not do that. If you have a heart for God, though, and you just kind of step off temporarily, there's that warning of the Holy Spirit. Peace is gone. Something's not right. Go back. What was it? What do I need to put right? I want the peace of God. You know, there's nothing compares to the peace of God. One of, I think, my most treasured gifts from God, benefits of living with Jesus, is the peace that surpasses all understanding, guarding my heart and mind. And when that goes, we need to find out where we left it, lost it, and get it back quick. You know, I'm so grateful for the promptings and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 1:33, whoever listens to me will dwell safely, will be secure with no fear of evil. Peace, no fear of evil. God's with me, God's for me. Let's go forward, confident in him, you know. Wherever God's working, there's righteousness, there's order, there's peace. Wherever the enemy's working, there's unrighteousness, there's confusion, there's stress. I read a few weeks ago in a Smith Wigglesworth's book, have several of them. I love him, he's amazing. Can't wait to meet him. Anyway, I read in one of his books, he said, if I find Listen to this. If I find my peace is disturbed in any way, I know that it's the enemy who's trying to work. I'm going to repeat that. If you find that your peace is disturbed in any way, you need to recognize the enemy is behind this. If you've got confusion and stress going on, get with God. Ask him to speak and bring light into your darkness. Show you what you need to pray or what you need to do. Show you life from his perspective. We so need that. The Christian life's a walk. It's one right step after another into the will of God. And we need to obey the promptings, and we need to let the word create disciplines in our lives, preset decisions of what we will and won't do that protect us and keep us walking straight and provide good fruit for the future. I'm going to finish just by talking a little bit about church. Obviously, we can't all meet together at the moment. And we have church online. Sunday mornings is church online. But let me strongly encourage you, keep Sunday mornings for Jesus. Sunday mornings is church. So when, you know, it's that discipline. It's what I do. It's what we do. So when another idea comes to you or another opportunity comes up, it's like, no, Sunday morning, that's church time. Give God the honor of putting him first. Yes, you could watch it later on. Yes, you could watch it another time, but flesh is flesh. Mañana, mañana, it slips and slides, and before long, do you know what? It slipped right out of your week. Keep that discipline. Church, Sunday morning, I'm there. Okay? Second point I want to make about church is we are church. Church is people. Don't think of church as a building or even as an online message. It's part of it. But church is people, and we need to keep an us mindset. Because in this time, it can all be very kind of God and me and God and me, everything's fine. But actually, we need one another. We can't meet as a whole, but we can meet in small groups, even just with one or two others, to encourage each other, strengthen one another's faith, have a barbecue, have a picnic, go for a walk, just meet up, you know, enjoy life together and just, you know, encourage one another, spur one another on, Scripture says. In Jesus, you walk with Jesus. Next week, we have church in the garden. I just want to say to you, don't plan yourself out, plan yourself in. And I want to go kind of one step further and encourage you / challenge you. Don't just turn up. I want to encourage you to pray and ask the Lord to give you something to give to somebody else. All of us are called to be ministers. If you're born again, you hear God. You know? And God wants to use you to give something from him to somebody else. When each joint supplies what it's got, God knits us together, it brings growth. Growth to all of us and growth to you. If all you're doing is sitting, receiving, all input, no output, let me tell you, you become a fat baby. You know, you need to be carried around, you need your nappy changed. It's not a good look, and it's not a good life. We need to grow up. Grow up and become like Jesus, able to minister and give life to the people around us. So I just want to do a quick recap on discipline. If you don't have any, or you don't have many, now's the time to start. Make today a new day, and really get some non-negotiables in that honor God. Put him first and watch him work. I tell you, you cannot, God is not mocked. But if you sow to the Spirit, life comes, blessing comes, stuff happens that you couldn't work out yourself. He has a way of, it's like a Midas touch on your life, you know. He has a way, that gold seal of approval of getting blessing to you. But we got to make right choices ourselves. So many of us are like, God, when, God, when, God, when? And he's like, well, when are you going to do what I say, you know? Number two, if you've had some disciplines and let them slip, pick them back up, set them back in place. And number three, if you are, glory, hallelujah, living a disciplined, Jesus first, Jesus led life, let me massively applaud you and say, don't grow weary. Do not lose heart, Scripture says. If we do not lose heart, we will reap. Do not lose heart. We will reap. So just to finish, another thought, because there will be no online stream next week. We're just having church in the garden, and hopefully you're already planning some ideas of how you're going to meet up and work that out. But just chat about three disciplines that you have that help you walk with God. Maybe you just want to start chatting about disciplines generally, you know, maybe some disciplines you'd like me with my home gym, general disciplines or routines in life. Maybe share something that people don't know about you, some kind of quirky thing you got going on, quirky habit, quirky routine. I, for example, always have chicken pesto pasta on a Monday. I just do because I like it and I don't have to think about it. Just get chatting about, you know, life stuff, general habits, routines, disciplines you may have, but then turn it to, and you know what, I've also got these disciplines going on that really help me, these preset decisions that help me walk with Jesus through my days and through my weeks. That's it. Hopefully it has blessed you. Just to kind of repeat and underline, there will be no live stream next week. It's church in the garden, but we'll be back together again the following Sunday for a live stream, August the 9th. Blame me, we're in August already. God bless you. Have a blessed week. Disciplined. Living to please Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.